Students needed for research project. £100 per test. I saw the sign posted above the cash machine. There was a number that I jotted down and tucked in my bag. Not bad money, and from the looks of my overdraft, I desperately needed it. I didn't think much of it till I got home and pulled my notebook out of my bag. The piece of paper with the number scrawled on it fell out. I picked up the phone and called. There was a recorded message telling me the location on campus, the psychology building, and the times when testing was scheduled. I opened my calendar and added the appointment. 7 o'clock tonight. I ate, had a shower, and made my way to campus. When I got there, I saw about 30 other students milling about, and 2 older students sitting at a long folding table. The woman was wearing a white lab coat and had her hair pulled back tight in a bun, and wore a pair of black-rimmed glasses. Even so, she was strikingly beautiful. The man was younger, blonde ruffled hair, wearing a similar coat. He was very cute. At 7 p.m. sharp, the main door was locked, and we were instructed to sit in the chairs provided. I found one right up front and sat down. We were handed a clipboard with a questionnaire and given a pencil to fill it out. I dutifully filled in my name, student ID number, social security number, and the rest. There was a long section on demographics, age, questions about where I had lived, brothers, sisters, etc. The next few pages were strange and seemed to make everyone a bit uncomfortable. They asked very personal questions about sexuality, preferences, history, and there were nearly 100 questions that required a response of arousal on a 10-point scale. The first 20 or so questions seemed very typical, but as the list went on, it started to grow more and more bizarre. I had to decide. Was I going to be honest? So many of the things listed did arouse me, some more powerfully than the first 20 questions. I grew fidgety answering the questions. It was like they knew all my secrets, the things I fantasize about but had never told a soul. By the time I got to the end, I found I was marking almost all tens. Just filling out the survey had made me so wet. I was blushing as I handed over the clipboard. The woman looked at it, looked me over briefly, and marked a few boxes along the top marked for research use only. Neither of them smiled at me, only directing me to have a seat and wait to be called. I watched as each person submitted their forms in turn. When they were all done, the young woman informed us that this was simply a pre-screening and that to get a spot in the actual research, they would need to perform some basic assessments. It would be about 15 minutes, and then they would call us in for final interviews. There was a bit of tension in the room as people considered what they had revealed on their surveys. It was clear that most people were confused, and some were put off by the questions. A few others, I noticed, seemed to have a similar response to mine. They were unable to look the man and woman in the eyes. They were nervous. And a few, like me, were blushing. We waited anxiously for the researchers to return. When they did, they read off a list of 5 names. Mine wasn't on the list. The 5 were taken back into the lab, and the rest of us were excused. I was disappointed, so I asked the woman if there was any chance I might be included later. She smiled at me. A smile that scared me. It seemed to look right through me. "We'll be in contact, Keiko," she said. I blinked. "How did you know my name?" I asked. The man chuckled. "We know a lot more about you than just your name." With that, the two of them turned away and entered the lab, leaving me confused and a bit nervous. I headed home feeling strangely dejected. I'd been counting on that money to pay some bills and maybe get a nice dinner. Ramen noodles again, I thought to myself. About half an hour after I arrived home, the phone rang. Keiko Tanaka? Yes, I answered. You will be at 421 South High Street tomorrow morning at 4:30 a.m, the voice said. I was 95% sure it had been the woman from the research study. Who is this? I asked. You will be dressed in a pair of black shorts and a black t-shirt. There was a click. Hello? Hello? The line was dead. I wrote down the address and thought about it. No way, I thought to myself. This is just too weird. As the night wore on, my curiosity grew. South High Street wasn't that far away, and I could set my alarm for 4 a.m. and decide then. I ate my noodles and turned in early, setting the alarm for 4 o'clock. I climbed into bed and parted my legs, feeling so hungry and so needy. I traced my fingers lightly over my belly and up and down my thighs. Gently, I began to play with my lips through my satin panties, squirming and arching my back. I started thinking about the questions, touching myself now under my panties. Questions about being helpless, being spanked, being tied up, and the really arousing ones, about being laughed at, humiliated, the butt of a joke, being called names. I started to imagine the man and woman who administered the survey calling me names, watching me masturbate, laughing at me. But I would keep going no matter what they would say. I drew it out, letting myself get close to orgasm over and over again, thinking about the other questions. Being teased, being brought to the brink of orgasm and denied release. Wearing a chastity belt, being punished for masturbating, needing permission to orgasm. They had all been tens, every one of them. So were the questions about bondage and humiliation. I started to get so overwhelmed, thinking, oh God, they know everything. I started to tremble and squirm, imagining the two of them reading my survey. I imagined them reading and laughing, making fun of me for my dirty secret kinks and fetishes. And as I did, I exploded into the most intense orgasm of my life. Fuck. I collapsed, panting and sweaty. I reached over to check the alarm, making sure it was set. The music blared and the alarm droned its annoying buzz, filling the room. I rolled over and turned it off, rubbing the sleep from my eyes. As I pulled myself out of bed, I found my shorts and t-shirt I had laid out the night before. After a quick shower, I pulled my hair back into a scrunchie and tossed on the shirt and shorts. I headed out at 4:15 a.m, chewing on a power bar for breakfast, and made it to the high street a few minutes early. To my astonishment, there were 4 other girls waiting, each dressed exactly like me. We all traded nervous laughter, commenting on how weird the whole situation was. I couldn't help but notice that the other 4 girls were drop-dead gorgeous, each very distinctive, but unusually attractive. Before we got past formalities, the door opened, and we were ushered inside. I turned to the girl I had been standing next to me, Mary, and whispered, "This is so weird." She nodded. The woman who had let us in, the same woman from the psych experiment, shot me a very cross look. "No speaking, Keiko." I swallowed a bit and nodded, indicating that I had understood. Each of us was called by name from the waiting area and taken to a separate room. When I stepped inside, I was intrigued. It was a small office with a desk, an exam table, and a very odd-looking chair that resembled a dentist's chair, adorned with a number of heavy leather straps and stainless steel restraints. It made me squirm to look at it. I looked around the room, taking in the books on the shelves and admiring the art on the walls. The woman from the experiment came in and smiled. "Remove your clothes, Keiko. The doctor will be with you in a minute." I tilted my head. "Remove them? What are you talking about?" I asked. "Do it now," she responded. Her tone sent a shiver down my spine. I slipped out of the shorts and shirt and slipped off my panties. I looked around for somewhere to put them. She reached out and took them from me. I stood, naked, my hands covering my chest and crotch, which seemed to amuse her. "The doctor will be right in." "I didn't get your name," I said as she turned. She glanced back and smiled. "Nurse," was all she said, before shutting the door. There was a small click and, as I suspected, the door had been locked. After what seemed like an eternity of standing naked, wondering, the door opened again. An older man, maybe mid-30s, entered and smiled at me. He held a clipboard and was reading it. His tone was pleasant as he spoke. "Have a seat," he said, gesturing to the exam table. I hopped up on it, feeling the paper lining stick to my bottom and thighs. The door opened again and the woman returned. They traded greetings. "Hello, nurse," he said. She smiled. "Hello, doctor." He raised his head and looked at me. "Well, Miss Tanaka, do you know why you're here?" I shrugged. "Not really. I suspect it had something to do with the survey I took at uni." I looked over at the nurse. "That's right. That survey has many purposes, and one of them is what brought you here." He reached down and put a hand on each of my knees, opening my legs, exposing me. "This is how you will sit for us, Miss Tanaka. Do you understand?" "Why?" I asked, whimpering slightly. "That will all be explained. It's very important that you follow instructions while you're here, both from myself and from nurse." I scrunched my face a bit. "Don't you have names?" I asked. They both laughed, and the doctor responded, "Of course we do, but we never use them with our patients. Whenever you see a man or woman in a lab coat, they will always be doctor or nurse to you." I squirmed, making the paper underneath me crinkle. My legs moved closer together, and as they did, I felt hands on my knees spreading them back apart. I blushed and looked away, knowing I was starting to respond to the exposure. The doctor spoke to me. "You, Keiko, are what we have come to describe as a fetish girl. And from now on, while you are here, that will be part of your name." I blushed deeply and nodded. "You have a very peculiar makeup. It is represented by only one in every 10,000 girls. The others that you met this morning are in the same category as you. Only you seem to rate higher in nearly every category. The survey this afternoon was designed to find girls like you." He paused. "And the others." I squirmed but said nothing. "Now, fetish girl Keiko, you have been selected to be a part of a very special series of experiments. It is something we call fetish therapy." The doctor looked at the nurse and smiled. "You mean," I tilted my head, "you mean you're going to cure me of them?" They both laughed, almost in harmony. The nurse spoke this time. Oh, fetish girl Keiko, we have something quite different planned for you. She turned to the doctor, then glanced at the chair. Shall I? She inquired. The doctor nodded and the nurse took my hand. I smiled as she helped me off the table and led me over to the chair. She led me to the chair and helped me into it. Immediately my legs and arms were strapped down, followed by a pair of straps across my chest, above and below my breasts. She did it gently, almost tenderly. By the end, my ankles, knees, elbows and wrists were secured firmly, but not uncomfortably. It felt good, secure, even safe. I knew I was helpless and vulnerable, but it was also exciting. This is where your therapy sessions will take place, fetish girl Keiko. You will always be bound, and... There was a small click, and I found the padded rests where my legs were attached spreading. Exposed. First, they spread at the ankles, separating my legs into a V. Then new motors whirred, and my knees were raised, splaying me even wider. I squirmed uncomfortably. I don't like this so much, I said, my voice quivering a bit. Then why are you getting so wet, fetish girl Keiko? The nurse asked, in a tone that was just short of being cold. The doctor intervened. That is your body responding like a good fetish girl. Now, if I was to start talking about bondage and tape, your body would respond as well, wouldn't it? I felt my stomach tighten, and against every wish and desire, I could feel my belly tingling, my thighs quivering, wanting to be touched. I turned my head, blushing terribly. We also know that humiliation and embarrassment arouses you, fetish girl Keiko, as do a number of other things, the doctor added. Oh God, doctor, look, the nurse said in genuine amazement. I've never seen a fetish girl get so wet so quickly. I was shaking my head now. Okay, please, this is too much. Please, can we stop now? No, fetish girl Keiko, the doctor informed me. Your sessions go from 4:30 a.m. to 6 a.m. daily. It is not time for it to end yet. The nurse wheeled in an IV and began to swab the back of my hand. Unable to resist, I turned my head and felt a small prick in the back of my hand. She rolled it back out of sight. The doctor reassured me. It's just a sedative to help with your therapy. Soon, I was finding it difficult to keep my eyes open. Oddly, I was still awake, hearing sounds and voices, but deeply drowsy. I could hear the nurse and the doctor, someone more clearly. Then I felt something being placed over my head and a whoosh of what sounded like white noise in my ears. Then, above it all, a calm, soothing voice. It sounded so beautiful, so gentle, as if all was right with the world. It seeped into my consciousness, telling me to relax. And I did. It started to speak. Your name is now Fetish Girl Keiko. It is who you are and what you are. You need your fetishes. You love them. They are everything to you. Whenever you hear your name, you will think about your fetishes and how they embarrass you. You can't hide it anymore, though, because it is who you are. Fetish girl Keiko, fetish girl Keiko, fetish girl Keiko, fetish girl Keiko. That was the last thing I remembered. The next thing I knew, I was dressed again at the door. The clock said 6 a.m. I felt refreshed and wide awake and headed off to start my day. Things went pretty much as you'd expect. Classes were boring, lunch was bland, dinner was a snack between classes. When I got home, I drew myself a warm bath and slipped into the tub. I ran my soapy hands over my breasts, playing gently with my nipples, then slowly down my belly, and I began to touch myself. As I did, I found myself overwhelmed with an uncomfortable sensation, like someone was watching me. They could see me. I covered myself and jumped out of the tub, wrapping myself in a towel, heart pounding. I looked around carefully. The doors and windows were all locked. I looked everywhere. Every closet, under the bed. No one was there. I calmed myself down with a bowl of ice cream and got ready for bed. I curled up with the TV on and snuggled against a pillow. I was still so tense. I decided that I would relieve some of the tension, touching myself once again. This time the feeling came again with more intensity. It wasn't just being watched. It was like I was on stage, speaking in public, naked, ashamed, exposed, wide open for everyone to see. Oh God, I thought, oh God, what is happening to me? The worst part of it was that, as exposed and embarrassed as I felt, I could feel myself tingling inside. I could sense myself getting wet, needing to be touched. But every time I tried, I was overwhelmed with embarrassment and feelings of exposure and vulnerability. Finally, I managed to drift off to sleep, exhausted from a most unusual day. I awoke with a start, sitting straight up in bed. I had a terrible fear that I was late for something. I looked at the clock. It was exactly 4 a.m. Without thinking, I showered and dressed in my black shorts and white t-shirt and headed out the door. At exactly 4:30, I found myself at the door of 421 South High Street with the same girls who'd been there yesterday. They looked equally confused. One of them looked very familiar, but for the life of me, I couldn't remember her name. She seemed to be having the same problem. I was ushered into the same office where I had been yesterday. This time it looked different. All the items were the same, but I somehow felt differently about them, especially the chair. I looked down at it fondly. When the nurse came in, she smiled. I looked down and realized I was naked. I had no memory of what happened to my clothes. I covered myself. She smiled. "Does your nakedness embarrass you, fetish girl Keiko?" I felt my inside squirm and I nodded, feeling truly mortified to be naked in front of her. I nodded and she made a note on the clipboard. She pointed over to the chair. "And what do you think of the chair, fetish girl Keiko?" I blushed and looked down. "I like it," I said softly.
"Excellent," said the nurse. "Would you like me to put you in it?"
I nodded, growing more embarrassed. She gently guided me to it and secured the straps. As they tightened, I could feel myself growing more excited. Not just excited, but more excited than I had ever been in my life. Excited, turned on,
desperate. She left the room, and I began to slip into a fit of moans and squirms. The chair held me so tight, so securely. Everywhere the straps bound my body felt wonderful. I barely noticed the doctor come in. What caught my attention was the motors whirring and spreading my legs wide, bent at the knees. As he looked down between my legs with the nurse, I grew embarrassed again. But the embarrassment mixed with arousal, making it more intense, but also insanely pleasurable. "Nurse, get me some baby wipes. It seems that fetish girl Keiko is just dripping wet," he said. I blushed, head to toe, a deep crimson, mortified. "That is because fetish girl Keiko is a dirty girl," the nurse said, handing him the wipes, emphasizing the last two words. As I heard them, I had an intense reaction. My right arm, bound tightly to the chair, started to tug and pull. The thing I needed more than anything else in the world was to get free so I could touch myself. "Yes, a very dirty girl," the doctor added. Now the bondage didn't feel pleasant at all. It felt miserable, confining, horrible. I hated it, and I started to beg and plead to be released. All I could think about was touching myself, coming, needing it. They sat back and watched as my desperation and horror grew. Meanwhile, a voice seemed to speak inside my head. "Only dirty girls masturbate. The worst, dirtiest girls touch themselves." I couldn't tell where it was coming from or who was saying it. The doctor and nurse smiled at each other while I twisted and squirmed. "You see why we need to have you restrained. Otherwise you'd simply be an idiot masturbator, fetish girl Keiko," the nurse said, looking into my eyes. Suddenly, like a switch had been flicked, I stopped squirming. The voice, the need to touch, the desperation, all went away, evaporated. All that was left was the arousal. I moaned softly. "There are certain things we will use to control your body, fetish girl Keiko," the nurse explained. "And your mind," the doctor added. "Are you going to cure me of these fetishes, doctor?" I asked, hopefully, hating the embarrassment and desperation. The two of them broke into laughter. "Cure you, fetish girl Keiko? Oh, Lord, no! We're going to addict you to them!" I looked at them, horrified. "You won't be able to function for a single day without having your fetishes attended to. And here's the best part. You won't be able to do it yourself. You will need someone else to embarrass you, humiliate you, bind you, watch you masturbate. And, oh, let's see what else." He flipped through the chart. "So many. Oh, here are a few. Let's see. Smell you and tape you. Such unusual fetishes. Embarrassing, I'd imagine." "Well, doctor," the nurse continued, "of course she gets embarrassed by the way she smells. The minute she gets excited, she stinks up the whole room." I looked at her again, horrified. "How did you know? I mean, what did you... How did you..." Words failed me. "Oh, you'd be amazed what you told us. Now let's see. Part of your therapy is confession. So we're going to ask you some questions and we expect honest answers." I shook my head. The nurse took out a roll of white, wide adhesive tape. "It is no use, fetish girl Keiko. We know you have a fetish for tape. It is going to be one of your primary areas of addiction, so you had better get used to it." You love being taped up, don't you? The doctor asked. I nodded, cheeks flushed. I need you to respond with a yes or a no to each question, Fetish Girl Keiko. I want you to answer the question in full, however. So if I say, are you feeling okay? You will respond by saying, yes, I am feeling okay. Understand? I nodded as best I could. When you were taped, do you feel excited? I closed my eyes and nodded. Yes. When I am taped, I feel excited. When you are taped, do you feel foolish? My heart skipped a beat. I whimpered. Yes, when I am taped, I feel foolish. Do you like having your mouth taped? I started to feel the questions getting to me. Yes, I like to have my mouth taped. I blushed. Do you like having your eyes taped? I moaned softly and nodded. He waited. Yes, I like having my eyes taped. Do you know you look like an idiot when you have tape stuck all over your face? I twisted in the chair, trying not to imagine how I look taped up. I shook my head, not answering. Nurse, he said. Before I knew it, she was smoothing a piece of white, wide adhesive tape over my lips. Then another, then another. From the side, he pulled a large mirror and placed it right in front of me. You look like an idiot, Fetish Girl Keiko, he said very matter-of-factly. Look at yourself. This isn't sexy or even cute or fun. It is pathetic. I moaned as I realised that someone was touching me, brushing over my clit, stirring me inside. I could feel an orgasm building. In my ear, over and over, he whispered, You look like an idiot! You look like an idiot! You look like an idiot! As the feeling grew inside me, deeper and deeper, not just an orgasm, but something more. The sensation was broken off. She's ready, Doctor. The IV went back into my hand, and I began to drift off to the slow and gentle voice. As it faded, I tried to fight it to stay awake, but it was so good. I was out. Again, I was in the foyer. The clock read 6 a.m., and my clothes were waiting for me, neatly folded by the door. I picked them up and got dressed, but under my shorts was a bulge. When I lifted them, the roll of tape the nurse had used fell out and rolled on the floor. I picked it up and tried to hide it. I had a sudden feeling of dread. What if someone saw it? What if they tried to take it away? I couldn't bear that. I needed it. I ran my fingers over it, smelled it, even put it to my lips to kiss it. Just for a second, I thought. I'd peel some off and play with it. Just a small piece. Much to my amazement, there was no way to peel it. No place to start, and nothing I did would unwind the tape. It became an object of fascination. On the way to school on the bus, I was fumbling with it when a man stopped me and asked if I needed help. I smiled, still scratching it. He reached down and with one small tug, pulled a strip of tape from the roll. I looked at him, confused. Sometimes they're tough to get started, he said, chuckling. And then out of nowhere, I blurted out, Would you please take my mouth shut? My eyes widened and I blushed deeply. He laughed and sat down beside me. Excuse me, did you just ask me to tape your mouth shut? My heart was pounding, and I could feel I was drenched between my legs. I swallowed and nodded, red-faced and unable to speak. I looked at the tape and the man, and a feeling of panic set over me. Like, if he didn't tape my mouth, I would die. Please just do it, I begged. He shrugged and tore off a piece of tape and pressed it over my lips. As he did, every care and fear I had ever known melted away. I felt totally safe and secure. When I opened my eyes, I also felt totally embarrassed. But it was as if my shame was connected to my sex. Every wash of embarrassment began driving me crazy. I needed to touch myself, and by God, I was going to do it right here with everyone watching. I just couldn't for the life of me remember how. It was the oddest thing. I knew I needed to touch myself, but I couldn't put two and two together. And the more I wanted to, the more frustrated I became. If I could just remember the words the doctor had used. What were they? The man got off at the next stop, leaving me squirming, taped, and desperate.